Father, we ask that this morning as we go to your word that we ask, would you do something amazing this morning, Lord God? Would you do something out of the ordinary, out of our realm of understanding, Lord God? Would you do something that would minister directly to the hearts and minds of your people? For those this morning that are suffering, those that are hurting, Lord God, would you bring healing? For those this morning that are seeking answers and decisions that need to be made, Lord God, would you give them those answers this morning? May we, as we look at your word and seek out your peace and seek out your comfort, Lord God, would you be the peacemaker? Would you be the comforter this morning that ministers to us? And we're going to give you honor and we're going to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking for several weeks at a series that I've called Toolbox of Faith, and we've looked at some different aspects of things that God allows us to have to build our faith, to better our commitment to each other and to the Lord, to make our lives a little easier. And this morning, I want to talk a minute about peace and comfort. I want to talk about, and it really kind of falls in the realm of faith as we enter into faith, trusting God to bring us peace, trusting God to bring us comfort. I'm going to wrap up this series this morning, and probably after the fourth, we're going to be looking at a series of connection. Connection points being connection with the Lord, connection with each other, connection with the community, connection with those that sometimes we don't get along with. What's the best way of responding to people that just kind of rub you wrong, and all of those things? So you'd be praying about that. Peace and comfort. Who wouldn't want that? Can you say amen? When you really begin to talk about peace and comfort, who wouldn't want that? And then my answer after I think about it a minute is, you'd be surprised how many people want peace and comfort and try to take God out of the equation. They're not necessarily looking for the peace of God. They're not necessarily looking for the comfort of God. They are just simply looking for peace and comfort. Jesus' word tells us, and you know, for peace, that if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, we should live in peace. And we should be at peace with everyone that we come in contact with. And if you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed it because Mike touched on that very avenue where we're talking about how we live in peace and how we live between what the government is telling us and what the Word of God is telling us to do. And then comfort, part of our text this morning, you know, says this: praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You say amen this morning? When you stop and think about it, here's some thoughts to think about. The devil sometimes sets a trap and allows us to think that our worth is only by what others think of us or what you're going through. If you're going through a hard time, well, then there must be something wrong with us. We base our experience on how good God is at us, with us at that moment. When things are all going good, we have a tendency to say we love the Lord and we're at peace and we're at comfort. And then when something happens, we think God is mad at us. We think that there must be something wrong with us. And then we begin asking questions like, where are you, God? Anybody besides me ever done that? Where you just ask God, where are you? I don't understand what's going on, and I'm trying to seek out answers. I'm trying to find where you want me to be in this. And where are you, God? And, you know, so my question back to you this morning, is that the peace? Is that the comfort that God's talking about? Where God, does God say in his word that every day is going to be a happy day? Every day you're not going to have any troubles. Every day you're not going to have some challenges to go through. And I believe really quick that we know if you've been a Christian probably more than a day or two, you're going to understand that there is troubles, there is trials, there is things that you're going through, and there is challenges that you're going through. But the Lord promises to be there with us and promises to help us through those times. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, reading down to verse 11. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, some of your Bibles say ignorant, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. I have had over many years people praying for me for different things going on, praying for things that were going on in our family, praying through rough times, and they would end their conversation with this sentence. Maybe you've been there too. I know how you feel. Have you ever heard that? You're going through a hard time, and they will sympathize with you. They will interject their thoughts, and then they will end that sentence and conversation with, I know how you feel. And I remember at many times going through that, wanting to say to them, you don't know how I feel. You don't know how I feel. I don't want to hang in there. Where they say, just hang in there. I don't want to hang in there. I feel like sometimes I am hanging. And I'm going through a hard time. And I can't just get over it. Anybody besides me heard those statements? Hang in there. Just get over it. Just move on. I know how you feel. I remember, and some of the young people that play baseball, you'll appreciate this illustration. I remember that at 11 years old, we were at a family picnic in a park, and I made a diving play at third base with no shirt on. Yeah, that's what I said too. And I remember that I was afterwards, I thought that was dumb. And I remember as I'm sitting on the side, and my mom is trying to wash out those little gritty stones. Anybody that plays baseball knows exactly what I'm talking about. Those gritty stones that came out, and I remember I was trying to be as strong as I could. Now remember, I'm 11 or 12 years old, and I am trying not to cry, but I am crying. And someone came over to me and said, just stop crying. Like I could turn it off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, it hurts, it hurts. You feel it, you're trying to be strong, I'm trying to be macho. You know, it wasn't my idea, even at that age, that I wanted to cry in front of my family, but it hurt. And somebody says, you know, just stop crying, like you can turn it off. And I thought about it now as an adult, I realized that they were probably trying to comfort me in their odd, silly way. And they didn't mean any harm by it. But I remember that I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't turn it off. And I remember as an adult that, and if I'm guilty of it, I apologize. I try not to say this as much anymore, I know how you feel. Even if I feel like I've been through exactly what they're going through, I try not to say, I know how you feel. You know why? Because each one of us goes through something in a different way. Even though it would appear that you've gone through it and you really do know what they have been through, I try not to say that. Because I realize the older I get and the longer I serve God, the only one that knows how you feel is the Lord. The only one that really knows how you feel is the Lord. The only one that can comfort you with the comfort of Christ is Christ. And when I look at this passage and I try to take it into context that it's been written by the Apostle Paul, and you see all the things that were going on and the torment and all the things, the Christian Corinthian church at that time struggled being separate from secular people. Say amen to that. They struggled because they had to make a living. They had to do these things. They struggled to be separate from the secular people around them. There was issues that went on in the Corinthian church. I know we never have any issues in churches today, but that evil Corinthian church had issues. You know, some of them, the scripture tells us, that were following Paul. Some were following Apollos, and some were following Jesus. And the Corinthian church struggled on who it was. It was almost like, who's the best evangelist at the time? Who are you going to follow? You know, Paul, Apollos, Jesus. And Paul was trying to seek reconciliation. He was trying to as a believer, get them to be led by the Spirit of God and not by that most popular evangelist. There were times in our lives that were discouraged. Amen. There's times in our lives that were depressed. Many right now are going through some mourning issues, mourning and feeling sometimes maybe even guilty for things in the past that they can't change, and they're at bad spots in their life. They don't need to hear, I know how you feel. Can you say amen to that? They don't need to hear, I know how you feel. They need to know the Savior that knows about them, the one that wants to comfort them, the one that wants to intervene in their lives. They need to meet the Savior. They need to be comforted by the Savior, the only one that could take them out of that dark spot. The Apostle Paul, I believe, gives two steps here that shows us how we can find the peace and comfort of God. So you can find an artificial peace. You can find compassion and comfort in other things, but it's not long-lasting. So if you're taking notes, here's point number one that I believe that you can find the peace and comfort of God. Praise brings comfort. Praise brings comfort. Here's what the word says. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble, so we comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Some of us need to get our praise on. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Some of us need to understand that God wants to do these amazing things, and we defunk ourselves into depression. We don't realize that if we would just get our praise on, if we would thank God for what He's already done in our life, trusting Him to be in our life and to bring us through these things, that pretty soon you will realize that if you got your praise on, it's going to get better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As we enter into worship, as we enter into praising God, we begin to see God do these miraculous things in our life. If nothing else, He will change our attitude. If nothing else, He will change our focus. Louis Albert Banks said this, "A body is not crippled till its heart has ceased to praise." A body is not crippled till its heart has ceased to praise. And then goes on to give an example of a Christian that loved to sing, loved to worship God by singing, and finds out that surgery was required because he had cancer of his tongue, and that he would not no longer after surgery be able to praise the Lord the way he used to. he goes up to the doctor as they're getting ready for the surgery, and he says, "Doctor, are you sure I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer his question. He simply shook his head, "No." The patient then asked if he could sit up in the chair and praise God one more time. That's the attitude that we need to have. That is getting your praise on. And now, you know, I have this song that I will sing, and it says that he sang the song, "I will praise my Maker with my last breath." See, we experience God's comfort and peace when we begin to praise God for what he's already done. Can you say amen to that? Don't let the focus of your praise on God be the circumstance that you're in for the moment. Don't let that moment cause you to not praise God. Don't let that moment take you to lose focus. We need to step out of the immediate situation and step into the realm of what God can do. Say amen. Oh, you can do better than that. That if you're going to get your praise on, that ought to get you right there. If you can step out of the immediate situation and you get yourselves into the realm of what possible with God, there's no limit. Somebody ought to be hooting and hollering right now. Somebody ought to be understanding that no matter what, it's not the end of the story for a believer. That we move into the next realm, that no matter what chapter you're in right now, it's not the last chapter. See, Paul understood hardship. And you read all of these stories of him being shipwrecked and snake bit and beaten and left for dead and stoned and all these other things. And verse 8, he says this, "We don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we've experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm reading this, and I'm understanding this guy wanted to die. It was that bad. He said, "The God of all comfort doesn't promise that every day is going to be the greatest day on the earth. He doesn't promise that we'll never have hardship. In fact, he tells us different in numerous passages that we are going to suffer a little bit." James 1, 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Sometimes you will go through things to be a blessing to someone else. Sometimes you will go through these things so that you could comfort somebody else that is going through these things. Sometimes we don't understand what is going on. Sometimes we don't feel like putting our praise on. And God says that as we enter into that he will be able to use us in a powerful way. Hope is what a hurting person is looking for. You say amen to that. Hope is what they're looking for. I cannot understand, but I'm a believer. So I'm not looking through it in the same eyes. But I cannot imagine going through hard times with no hope. I cannot understand that no matter how bad it gets here, that it's not the end of the story, why that wouldn't cause some people to put their praise on. Hope is found in the promises of God. But if you don't believe the promises of God, you will not find hope. 1 John 5, 13 and 14. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." 1 Peter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians says, don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen. That ought to get your praise on this morning. They have lost hope, and God is our hope. John tells us, I have told you these things so that you may have peace, and in this world you will find trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. What are these things that he's talking about here? He's talking about, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And he's telling us that we need to put our trust in Christ. And from this passage, the second thing that he's showing us here is comfort comes in our suffering. Comfort comes in our suffering. Now, most would say, no, that's not right. I'm going to find comfort when I'm not going through the hard times. I'm going to trust God more when I don't have to go through these things anymore. But watch this. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can find comfort to give to others with the comfort that we have received from God. Christ suffered for us. Christ died on the cross for us. God the Father ministered to him. And what Jesus is saying, the same comfort and peace that God the Father gave me, I want to give to you. Say amen to this morning. That's the kind of peace that God wants to give us. That kind that came right down from the Heavenly Father, transferred that love right through our Savior and coming back to us. The apostles, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And if I was writing that, I'd say, I don't want you to be stupid. I want you to hear what's going on here. The troubles that you're going through, you can see we're going through troubles in Asia. We're under great pressure. And it's more than we can handle. Because he says he despaired of life itself. You know, you read that scripture that says, God won't give you more than you can bear. And I've been guilty. I have a different look at that verse now. I've been guilty that I've said, well, God will take you right up to the edge. Ever been there? Ever said, you know, that is more than I can handle, and then someone like me will come up to you and say, well, I'll take you right to the edge. But I want you to think about this for a minute. People say that God will not give you more than you can bear, and I'm guilty of that. And then that the proper way to look at this scripture is there are some things that are more than you can bear. There are more things that you go through than you can bear. And what that scripture is telling us and really showing us is that in yourself, it is more than you can bear. But in Christ, Christ will help you through it. You say amen to that? Because if you are doing this on your own, it is more than you can bear. It will come at you like never before. Verse 7, and our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. He's telling them, just as you see the same things that we're going through and God has brought us through this, that same God wants to bring you through it. That same God wants to offer you peace. That same God wants to comfort you. Paul's telling us, I want you to know there is hardships. Don't run around deceiving yourself that there's no hardships. Don't run around deceiving yourself as that you're a believer, that you're never going to go through hard times. There is hardship, but Paul is telling us that there's the deliverance. I don't want you to be unaware. There is hardship. You will go through some hardships, but God will encourage you. God will show you. God will help you through these things. As I close this out, we're called as children of God to the sufferings of Christ. See, for someone to say, if you would just come to Christ, everything will be better. If you would come to Christ, you will never have these kinds of troubles again. If you will be faithful, you can avoid all of these things. Christ suffered and died. And God the Father resurrected him. He tells us that we're going to suffer, but he tells us that we're going to be resurrected as believers and see the eternal glory of God. He tells us that he will do the same for his children. We're called into his confidence. We're called into his promises. There is benefits of being in Christ. You say amen to that? There is benefits of being in Christ. I can't imagine not being in Christ and going through some of the things that the world throws out at us. And regardless of distance, he says that we'll never be alone. We'll never be separated from the love of God. And I want you to know something. It helps to pray. I believe there's a lot of people going through a lot of things because they have not turned it over to the Lord. They haven't asked the Lord to intervene because they let their pride get in front of their emotions and all the other things that are involved, never wanting God to intervene. I can do this. I'm strong. I'm bullheaded, you know. When I lived in the valley, it was, you know, I'm a Dutchman. You know, that they just felt like because that was it, you know, and I'd go, because I'm Polish. And God's saying, because you have no strength in yourself, do this in my strength. Paul understood pain. Paul understood physical illness. Paul understood unjust persecution. Paul understood the threat of death, bad relationships, and all these other things that broke him down. But God, who offers peace and comfort, came to minister to him, and he's telling the Corinthian church, he'll do the same for you. He will come in and do the same for you, that it's his desire to do the same for each one of us. I'm closing with this verse. Verse 10, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will continue to be delivered as your help is by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor God has shown on us. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? That's the kind of God I want to serve. I don't want a God to tell me that I'm never going to go through any heartache, and then when I get a heartache, then I believe like I can't trust God. I'd rather have God say, you know what? This ain't the end. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be things that you're going through that's more than you can bear, but I promise you, I'm going to be with you. I promise you that I'm going to make a difference in your life if you would stay faithful. How about it? How about it, church? Do you believe that this morning? Some of us need to get a praise on. Some of us have to realize that this isn't the end of the story, and there's going to be some tough times, but God promises he's going to bring us through it. Amen? Father, I thank you for your goodness. I believe you have spoken to each and every one of us this morning. I pray that as we prepare our hearts now to take communion, as we prepare our hearts on the things that you've said, that, Lord God, that you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.